This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a special guest, Dr. Rima Labau, who's the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation for the second half of the show. She will be taking callers. The number is 717-300-1698, 717-300-1698. I think the fake news attacks on Donald Trump are backfiring massively. During a rally on Saturday, he talked about Sweden, what he'd learned last night, which was widely but mistakenly interpreted as meaning a terrorist incident. He was actually referring to a television report by Tucker Carlson on Fox, who may be the best show on television related to news. Tucker is very honest, very direct, very straightforward, no pretension. Very analytical, won't take any guff. I highly recommend him. And he was reporting about the problems in Sweden with a massive influx of migrants. Nevertheless, Donald was attacked for lying to our faces, which requires that you contemplate the meaning of the word lying, because Donald is a very sincere guy. He does a lot of stream of consciousness, says what comes into his head. His brain works faster than his mouth. So when he talked about, you know, last night, he left out the phrase, watching a report with Tucker Carlson on Fox, and went on to talk about the problem with the massive influx of refugees there and the difficulties they've had, which was very clear if you stop to reflect on the context of his speech. He did mention other specific locations such as Nice and Berlin and Paris, where there have been specific terrorist attacks. But what he was talking about to begin with in relation to Sweden was something that turns out to be completely true. The rape in Sweden has simply exploded thanks to mass immigration. Sweden is now the leading rape capital of the universe, followed by Indonesia, in several other countries, Bulgaria, I think, Costa Rica, New Zealand, Belgium, then the USA. But the rate in Sweden is like more than double the United States. And it's just climbed tremendously since they brought in immigrants. Now, let me reflect on the meaning of the word lie. In order to lie, you have to know what you're saying is false. You have to be asserting it as though it were true in the deliberate effort to mislead your audience. Donald Trump doesn't do that. He may not always get things just right, but he's not lying. The guy's a very sincere guy. In fact, he's got himself in a lot of trouble for saying things he believes sincerely because they were somehow politically incorrect or otherwise inappropriate, got him in a lot of trouble. But he's not lying. The people who attack Donald Trump as liars are the ones who themselves are lying, either through simple ignorance, not knowing the meaning of the word, or deliberate, which appears to me to be the case pretty much across the board. Not only was Donald correct about that, but meanwhile, rioting has broken out in Sweden, including a lot of aggressive activity, setting cars on fire and so forth. Really pretty embarrassing. But the culmination came with this. Sweden's migrant crime wave becomes top national story as media's lies backfire. The story from Fox News covering Sweden's migrant crime wave is now the top story nationally, according to Google News. In their quest to attack President Trump for any possible reason, the lying media made up a fake news story claiming Trump spoke of a non-existent terror attack, which occurred Friday night in Sweden. In fact, Trump never said there was a terror attack in Sweden. He said people should look at what's happening in Sweden to see how their country is being destroyed by refugees. Now, there are a couple of conventions of the ordinary use of language in conversational context that apply here that reveal what the media is doing is deliberately distorting what Trump is saying. The first principle is known as the principle of charity, which is to say if someone says something, you should as much as possible seek to interpret what they're saying as true rather than false. The media violates the principle of charity. They deliberately try to find an interpretation of Trump that is false. This is a violation of a fundamental canon or principle that regulates ordinary conversational context. Second of all, the principle of humanity. We should ascribe to others with whom we're conversing the same motives and principles and ethics we would apply to ourselves. The media doesn't do this. Their urgent insistence on impugning Trump's integrity leads them to violate both the principle of charity and the principle of humanity, which were articulated by the Berkeley philosopher Paul Grice, a brilliant philosopher of language. Now, when Trump complains about fake news, we get all kinds of proof thereof, including, of course, that the Washington Post promoted this Russian dossier story, which was made up by a chat board member of 4chan as fan fiction, and got elevated up to the CIA taking seriously what was a piece of nonsense. But get this, the CIA has a $600 million contract with the Washington Post, which Julian Assange has revealed through WikiLeaks. The owner of the Washington Post, of course, is none other than Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is a guy who banned my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, back in 2015 because it was too hot, too explosive, blew away the official government account, demonstrated the school had been closed since 2008, that it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards. They had to decide whether to upgrade to make it compliant with American for Disability Act requirements. They did not do it. So that anyone who understands the requirements of the law in relation to handicap parking, handicap ability to get in and out of buildings and so forth, just by looking at a photograph of the parking lot at Sandy Hook, you can tell that it could not have been a legally operating school in December of 2012. It didn't have any of the familiar blue and white parking spaces, blue and white signage. It had wooden staircases, no wheelchair could navigate. The whole story about Sandy Hook is complete and utter poppycock. And we discovered additional proof that I will share, time permitting, tonight, if not Thursday. In any case, we now have a secret list of every reporter on Hillary's payroll that's also been leaked, and it includes some very prominent names, Diane Sawyer, George Stephanopoulos, Rachel Maddow. Why am I not surprised these are people on Hillary's payroll? In addition, we have a report that Soros and the Clintons are organizing paid protesters to overthrow Trump and protect the pedophile rings. This is completely consistent with everything I've been putting together about Pizzagate. One of the indications of what's going on, and this is called a purple revolution. It's supposed to be a popular uprising, one of the so-called color revolutions of the kind that occurred in Ukraine, where you have a popular involvement, but it's actually being stage managed behind the scene. In the case of Ukraine, which was designed to force the democratically elected president of Ukraine to flee, was orchestrated by Victoria Nuland, then a deputy secretary of state, using some $5 billion of American taxpayers' dollars, and George Soros, $500 million of his own money. Soros seemed to be deeply involved in all of this. In fact, if you get into it, you find that some of the key participants backing this are George Soros, Barack and Michelle Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Tim Kaine, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, John Brennan, James Clapper, Michael Morrill, and other Democratic traitors scheming against President Donald Trump and the American Republic. This is striking and appears to be motivated by the fact that there are so many in the government, prominent political figures, who are tied in with Pizzagate. Pizzagate appears to have been a scam that was engineered by Israelis and their allies to get prominent politicians aboard the aircraft known as the Lolita Express, run by this Jeffrey Epstein, to fly them down to Orgy Island in the Caribbean and then to videotape them performing sexual acts with underage participants, especially young girls. Apparently, they have quite a few of these of none other than Chuck Schumer, who's been, of course, very outspoken, dragged out the confirmation process. Trump still doesn't have about 9 of his cabinet members yet to be confirmed. This is outrageous. But it looks as though it's not going to work, that it's going to fail, but not for a lack of trying. Lou Dobbs, by the way, has now revealed that the FBI has quietly dumped more Hillary Clinton emails, 300 more pages put out, showing that she was regularly sending confidential and secret information to parties outside of the government. Of course, we know it wasn't even protected by so much as a password. I mean, Hillary Clinton was completely irresponsible. Interesting report from the New York Times just today by Michael Paulson. Hillary Clinton's in the house. He's reporting that Hillary is going to a series of Broadway plays, making herself very conspicuous. The only catch being, it's not Hillary, it's yet another double. And I find this absolutely stunning because I just published a blog about Hillary where I identified three different doubles she had been using. And this may be the third of the three who's by far the best. First of all, the one I refer to as the Meg Ryan double, who came out of Chelsea's apartment house after Hillary had collapsed when tensions built and her staff was worried that there would be growing anxiety about the state of her health that would create an obstacle to her securing the presidential nomination. This woman was 2 to 3 inches shorter, 35 to 40 pounds lighter, looked at least 10 years younger. She was limber and agile and, most unlike Hillary, pleasant. She was not surrounded by bodyguards, was missing her health handler, and Chelsea didn't come out to wish her well. Another, however, showed up just a couple days later on a flight to Greensboro. This Hillary was taller and thinner, a more sloping forehead, the wrong nose, and missing the two moles that Hillary has in above and below the right corner of her mouth. Because she reminds me of America's most celebrated actress, I refer to as Hillary's Meryl Streep double. But it turns out, most audaciously of all, Hillary used a third double who is outed using a technique like by comparison the eye-teeth ratio, where if you draw a line between the pupils of the eye that define a straight line and a similar straight line just below the upper teeth, you get a ratio of, in the case of Hillary Clinton, 1 to 1.12. But in the case of her double here, during the debates, 1.06, 1 to 1.06, not the same woman. And now we have yet a third. This is clearly not Hillary Clinton. So I wrote to Michael Paulson that he might want to check it out because he'd been played, and it would be, to the betterment of the New York Times that it ceased disgracing itself with so much fake news. He didn't seem to even notice that Hillary, surrounded at the theater, didn't have her entourage, the Secret Service, didn't have her health handler. I mean, look, sometimes these things are just too obvious to have to belabor. It turns out now that the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Jason Chaffetz, is continuing his mission to take down Hillary. He's going to prosecute Hillary's tech guy who set up the server, this guy named Pegliano, who was given immunity but nevertheless refused to testify. That makes him vulnerable to be held in contempt of Congress and prosecuted. Not only that, but we have more fake news. For example, these comparisons of what they're calling Russiagate with Watergate. They even bring out John Dean, who was very much deeply involved in the Watergate investigation. But this is where Nixon was attacking the press for publishing true stories that were impugning him for wrongful acts, illegal acts. In the case of Donald Trump, he's attacking the media for publishing false stories that are intended to discredit his administration and to sabotage the government. I mean, they're completely different. They're not at all parallel. We have even Hardball with Chris Matthews going bananas here, where they want to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 election. Chris Matthews seems to believe this, just as Chris Matthews seems to believe that Lee Oswald shot JFK, that Chris Matthews seems to believe the 19 Islamic terrorists brought us 9/11. I mean, I'm telling you, the guy's a smart guy, but he's stupid. There are lots of things he doesn't know. It's very, very embarrassing. Lindsey Graham talked about U.S. allies feeling better after Mike Pence was reassuring at Munich, talking about the United States wanting to support NATO, but that the NATO members have to pay their fair share. They were all obligated to pay 2% of their GDP whereas only about five of the 27 member states of NATO are doing that. Donald Trump has made that point, which is a good one. Lindsey Graham claims Russia has become more aggressive toward the rest of the world since the U.S. election. Quote, Russia has interfered in every democracy in their backyard. They're coming after the French and the Germans, he said. They tried to interfere in our election, even though they didn't change the outcome. The bottom line is it is now time to punish Russia for trying to break the backbone of the democracy for interfering in our election. And my goal is to put sanctions on Russia based on interfering on our election on President Trump's desk. You have the Democrats putting out these claims, you know, promoting a petition to investigate Trump's ties to Russia, claiming falsely the National Security Advisor Mike Flynn engaged in illegal communication. He did not do that. There was nothing wrong with his conversation. That Trump lied to the American people. He did not lie about it. That the New York Times has just reported Trump's campaign aide had repeated contact with Russian intelligence throughout the election. That's all complete rubbish. In fact, if you go back to it, Loretta Lynch blew the cover on the claims that Russia had interfered with the election. Loretta Lynch, that's not an ally of Donald Trump, but was, of course, Attorney General under Barack Hussein Obama, saying there wasn't any kind of technical interference in the election. In fact, the voting machines are separate from the internet. It wasn't even possible. The only parties who could manipulate the election machines were those who were maintaining them. And it does appear they were doing that to benefit Hillary. The popular vote simply overwhelmed them. In addition, the only hacking that took place was the Department of Homeland Security attempting to hack into the electoral systems of several states, including Georgia, Kentucky, and West Virginia. Several in addition, I'm given to understand, where Julian Assange has emphasized there was no Russian contact involved in any of the material that WikiLeaks published, and including with regard to the DNC emails. They appear to have come from Seth Rich, who was the IT guy working for the DNC, who was disillusioned that the DNC was sabotaging the campaign of Bernie Sanders. He decided to do something about it. He gave them to this former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, who said it was just a bullshit on claims that Russia hacked the DNC in the efforts to benefit Donald Trump, that he, in fact, got them from the source, who was not Russian, gave them to Julian Assange. Julian Assange has confirmed that Russia had nothing to do with it. Julian Assange has also offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever shot Seth Rich. Now, there have been numerous deaths related to Julian Assange publishing emails like this, including his own attorney wound up in front of a subway in London. The fellow who served a class action lawsuit on the DNC winds up mysteriously dead. An FBI agent who's believed to have been the conduit to Julian Assange of the treasure trove of 650,000 emails found on Anthony Weiner's server. He's now dead, and his wife and his home burned to the ground. He's supposed to have murdered his wife, killed himself, and then burned his house to the ground. That's a classic black bag op. You burn the house to the ground to destroy any evidence. If you actually killed your wife and committed suicide, why the hell would you care if they found evidence of how it was done? You only care if you're performing a murder, in this case a double murder, being staged to look like a murder-suicide. Ridiculous. Then we have John McCain defending a free press, saying that's how dictators get started. Carl Bernstein, no less, saying Trump's media attacks reflect authoritarian tendencies. But Carl Bernstein is displaying gross ignorance of the facts of the matter, because this is fake news attack. Here we have the editor of 4chan about the anti-Trump dossier having been fabricated. I have revealed this, reported this so many times, I can't believe it's still a topic of current conversation, but that's because they don't have anything out. They got to recycle. Even if it's garbage, they got to recycle it. And we know that this was made up by a fan of the chat board. It was sent to anti-Trump pundit Rick Wilson, kicked it up to the CIA, which demonstrated its own corruption by treating it seriously. Donald has also been attacked, faulted for claiming that there were millions of fraudulent votes cast, but we have ample evidence for it, even though the media denies there's any. Consider the following: California bill passed in 2015 by signed by Jerry Brown, a motor voter law, allows anyone who signs up for their driver's license to be automatically registered to vote, except in California, illegal aliens can obtain driver's licenses. So Jerry Brown, very cleverly, sleight of hand, made it possible for them to vote. We all know Hillary grew, you know, a couple million in the popular vote over Trump, who didn't even campaign in California. Well, here's one of the explanations for how that came about. It's evidence of fraudulent voting. Here's more evidence. Barack Obama went on a Latino station, MITU, told the anchor that it's okay when you vote, you're a citizen yourself, and they're not going to track your documents, encouraging illegals to vote by trading on the ambiguity of the word citizen. Yes, when you're in the voting booth, you're performing the role of a citizen, but it's a role you're only allowed to perform if you're a legal citizen, which they were not. So it was Obama encouraging Latinos to vote. Then we have, during the recount instigated by Jill Stein, everything in Wisconsin turned out fine. Trump had a net gain of some 170 votes. Pennsylvania, because they used touchscreen machines, they couldn't even do a recount, indicating that those voting machines are unconstitutional because you can't even get a recount if you demand it. In Michigan, they found massive voter fraud by Hillary Clinton. Precincts that voted 95% for Hillary found to have vast numbers of ballots added after the polls closed. Well, if I can find it, if it's out there, if it's been published and widely, then how can the media not know? This is proof of voter fraud. Indeed, the Kansas Secretary of State has just claimed that if there's the same proportion of fraudulent votes she found in Kansas across the country, then there were as many, in excess of a million people may have fraudulently voted. So just ask yourself, how can the media be trashing Trump, claiming there's no evidence for his claims, when the evidence there, it's abundant, it's compelling? I just reviewed it for you. If I can review it for you, they can find it themselves because they have all kinds of resources. I'm just a guy who's a retired professor who does his homework. Stand by for my special guest, Rita Lebeau, the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation, after the break. This is Jim Fetzer, your host. My special guest for the rest of the show, Rita Lebeau, MD, is the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation. She's a graduate of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, who believes passionately in the right of every American to choose a personal health path free of government or corporate interference. Her appearance here is bittersweet because she just lost her husband, Major General Albert Stubblebine, U.S. Army retired, formerly in charge of all U.S. military signals and photographic intelligence, with whom I had the great pleasure of doing a two-hour interview about the 9/11 crash sites, where General Stubblebine was not only in agreement with the evidence I adduced that none of the 9/11 planes had crashed on that occasion, but added additional reasons. I'm very saddened at his death. Dr. Rima, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. I would love to tell you the story of how General Burt, exercising his informed consent and health freedom rights, transcended the cataclysmic illness that he suffered. I can't, because the allopathic medical system fought so hard to keep him from having the simple nutrients and the simple right to choice that they actually succeeded in killing him. So this is a story from someone whose heart is broken, but whose resolve is hardened that this must stop happening, because General Burt did not die of cardiovascular disease or kidney failure or sepsis. General Burt died of a lack of informed consent, and so do most other people who are suffering the ravages of the allopathic medical system. And for those who don't know me, perhaps it's instructive to know that I am a licensed physician. I graduated from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in 1970, which I'm happy to say is still within living memory. And in that time, I have practiced medicine and psychiatry without ever writing a pharmaceutical prescription. ever while treating desperately ill people whom the medical establishment had given up on, saying either live with the pain, die from the side effects, or go home and get your affairs in order. So I have a different view of health and health freedom from almost every other allopathic physician. And that view is that there is one alternative medicine which we have access to, and it's a poor alternative. It's allopathic medicine, pharmaceutical medicine.
As I understand it, Dr. Rima, General Burt wasn't even allowed just to have a vitamin C IV drip. Is that correct? I mean, that's just dumbfounding to me.
When you consider, let me give people just a little bit of information about this. And if you want more, you can go, and I hope you will, you can go to our principal website, drrimatruthreports.com. That's D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. And look for the blog that I wrote on the day of his death, his birthday, February 6th, this month, called Who Killed General Burt? And Happy Birthday, Wherever You Are. The story in brief is this. We were living in Chile for the needs of the Natural Solutions Foundation, which sees the problems of globalism and the issue of who owns your body as a seminal battleground in the battle for global control by the people who want you dead or enslaved. And make no mistake, they have announced these globalist beasts. They have announced that they want at least 90% of the current population dead. The other 10%, according to Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030, will be compressed onto 1% of the landmass of the planet, rewilding the rest of the planet so that allegedly animals can have their rightful place on the planet and people have only a few hundred square feet to live in for their entire lives, a 16 by 16 meter square living habitation. They will be able to walk as far as they can. Will it be able to travel as far as they can walk or bicycle? Otherwise, they'll need permits for the light rail transportation. And these will be essentially slave colonies for technicians and servants. It's pretty ghastly and it's pretty clear. Most people ignore it, but I'm sure your audience is well aware of it. So General Burt and I closed our drug-free medical practice in New York State in 2004, and we created the Natural Solutions Foundation because our side, the health freedom side, was very focused on tactical activities, and no one was thinking strategically. So we decided we were pretty good at that, and we would take on the globalist machine based on your first and most fundamental freedom, which is that you own your own body. No one can tell you what may or may not, must or must not go into that body or happen to that body. For those people who are so controlled that someone else is making decisions about their bodies, there's an ancient term, and that term is slave. Free men and women make decisions about what happens to their body without interference, and they have a free flow of information that they need and access to the products and substances that they choose for those decisions. Now, we created the Natural Solutions Foundation and we developed it and we contended against the U.S. government, forcing it on at least one occasion to drop a mandatory vaccine program because we revealed that the U.S. government was planning to add a substance that they held a patent on for causing irreversible immune-mediated infertility when injected, etc. So we were contending against the globalist forces wherever they happened to be. We were living in Chile, long story why, and General Burt developed difficulty swallowing and lost 44 pounds in about 3.5 months. That's a cataclysmic weight loss, especially in somebody who weighed 174 pounds. I decided that, as reluctant as I was to come to the United States, not because it's not important, not because it's not easy to be here, but because of the decline in constitutional protections and freedoms that we understand is happening day by day by day. Nonetheless, the situation was so dire that I brought him here for access to advanced natural medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic, herbalism, nutritional IVs, including vitamin C, etc. And he was, in fact, getting better, but slowly. However, not fast enough. We arrived on August 20th. On September 1st, he collapsed, and I called an ambulance and had him transported to the JFK Medical Center in Edison, New Jersey, where his nutritional physician wasn't attending. At that point, he had septicemia, that's an infection of bacteria in the blood, and he had aspiration pneumonia. His swallowing difficulty had led him to inhale food into his lungs, and he was a very sick man. His kidneys had failed because of the septicemia. Had he received intravenous vitamin C at that point, he would have walked out of the hospital in 3 weeks. He did not, because although his attending physician and I requested it urgently, vitamin C is not in the formulary of hospitals in this country. They can't get it. They won't get it. Why? Because then they wouldn't need the highly profitable drugs. General Stubblebine declined. They were starving him. And I insisted, with the support of his attending, by the way, that he receive parenteral nutrition. That's nutrition in an IV bag, the fats, the calories, and so on. That was, can you believe this? That was countermanded and overturned by a dietitian who later wrote in the chart, nutrition has no place in this patient's treatment. That's insane. Well, going forward, I insisted, jumping up and down, and this was hand-to-hand combat every day, Jim. I slept in the room where General Burt was, to the great distress of the hospital. I would not leave his side. They were not happy with that. Didn't bother me at all. So he received finally a feeding tube called a PEG tube, and I could pour nutrients and supplements into his stomach directly. I would prepare them in the morning, then I would be with him for 16 or 18 hours and feed him and feed him and feed him. And guess what? This man with a prognosis of zero, of nothing, whom I was told over and over and over again to allow to die, opened his eyes. He revived. He got off the ventilator. He was speaking. He was laughing. I have videos of him using resistance bands in bed. He was preparing for the rest of his life. And the medical establishment had a problem. And that was that their paradigm required this 86-year-old man to die. He was used up. He was weak. He was sick. He was done. He was expensive. My paradigm, which is that of advanced medicine, which says that people are free to make choices and that age and health are a consequence of those choices, my paradigm gave him the opportunity to live. And so the two paradigms were at war. And remember, he was hospitalized on September 1st. On November 30th, the medical director of the hospital forbade the introduction of nutrients into General Burt. He went from being able to breathe on his own and being able to speak and being able to exercise and getting well to having to go back on the ventilator because he was so weak without nutrition.
Rima, isn't that basically consigning him to starvation? I mean, to not allow any nutrients to enter his system. I mean, this is outrageous.
Precisely. This is beyond outrageous. This is criminal behavior, but it is standard behavior in the allopathic medical world. Among the great dangers on this planet to the life and well-being of every single person is the pharmaceutical / medical / depopulation cabal. And it includes, Jim, the same companies that make and sell the drugs, make and sell the toxic agrochemicals, and they make and sell the genetically modified plants, now animals, and the poisons that they're genetically modified to withstand. And they all come out of Nazi Germany and John D. Rockefeller Jr., the man who introduced eugenics and genocide to Germany, sponsoring long before Adolf Hitler the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes in Berlin and Munich, and pushing the agenda of eugenics and culling. The pharmaceutical industry was virtually owned by John D. Rockefeller Jr. because he was looking for an alternative stream for the oil that he controlled the production of worldwide. He did not believe the internal combustion engine would ever consume all of the oil that he, the petroleum that he was producing. And at that time, at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century, drugs were made from the gunk left at the bottom of a cracking tower called coal tar. During the distillation process, you get the waste material called coal tar. And these drugs were coal tar derivatives that the brilliant German organic chemists were wumping up in their magic crucibles in their laboratories. And the pharmaceutical companies were bought and brought under control by the Rockefeller Empire. And then he set about creating this monster that we call allopathic medicine today. And delicensing and criminalizing everyone who practiced anything except pharmaceutical medicine. It's a long and interesting story, and I've written about it. And by the way, if you'd like to know about this poisoning of the food as part of the drug and depopulation cabal, I can recommend a video for you called Nutricide, N-U-T-R-I-C-I-D-E, a 40-minute video that I promise you is worth your time and will have you spending the extra money for organic if you're not already doing it. So General Stubblebine was exposed to a system that many people say is broken. The allopathic, the hospital, the conventional medical system is not broken. It's working perfectly. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It breaks you and me. It breaks our families. It breaks our life cycle. But it's not a broken system. It's a system that is designed to convince you that other people know more about your body, your need, your survival, your well-being than you do, and which is designed to convince you to shell out enormous amounts of wealth to give them the right to make those decisions, and then to kill you when you are expensive or inconvenient, starting with prenatal vaccines. And let me say very clearly that vaccines, and I say this as a physician, a scientist, as someone who has studied vaccine science well and has found that vaccines are a total fraud, but worse than that, they're a genocidal fraud. There is no worthwhile vaccine on the planet. They don't work to induce health or prevent disease. They do work to induce disease and prevent health. And the real profit in the vaccine market is in the downstream market, the cancer, the infertility, the autism, the Alzheimer's, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, let me add a parenthesis here, if I may, Jim. You have the right to refuse every vaccine for yourself and your children if you exercise that right correctly. The Supreme Court of the United States has made that very, very clear in a 2013 case called McNeely versus Missouri. And I won't go into the case right now, but I can tell you that the Natural Solutions Foundation has created a card that you carry in your wallet, your purse, your child's backpack or diaper bag, and properly executed, that card exercises your nationally and internationally guaranteed right of informed consent to refuse all vaccines, should you so choose, if you happen to live in a country that has signed the Geneva Convention, and that includes 126 countries. The likelihood is that if you're listening to my voice and yours, Jim, then you are in a Geneva Convention country and you already have an internationally guaranteed right to refuse any medical treatment, including vaccines, as long as you assert that right properly. So the card is called the Advance Vaccine Directive. And if you go again to our main website, drrimatruthreports.com, and type in Advance Vaccine Directive, you will find the pages that tell you precisely how to use it. And I hope that you and everyone that you can reach learns that you have the right. What I did, in addition to having the cards for General Burton, myself, and my wallet, what I did was every time I signed a piece of paper, no matter what it was, I wrote all vaccines refused. I initialed it, and then when I signed the paper, that was a legal document. And they said, well, this has nothing to do with a vaccine. We're not going to give him a vaccine. I said, you're not, but somebody else will want to. And indeed, a nurse came in, and I said, what are you about to do? And she said, oh, I'm giving him a DTaP shot. I said, no, you're not. He has refused all vaccines. And she said, okay, that's your right. Now, hospital employees, school children, and so on are told that they must submit to vaccination. And that's a lie. When you assert your right, the legal department will back off. That's an aside. Anyway, General Burt was getting better and getting better and getting better, and the hospital stopped his right to food and said they could only allow FDA-approved items. Now, nutrients, vitamins and minerals are not FDA approved because the FDA lacks the authorization to approve them. The only thing they can do is make sure they're not misbranded or adulterated and make sure that they have that stupid disclosure disclaimer that is required by law under the 1994 Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act that says this product won't do anything and it's not intended to do anything, but hey, if you want to take it, you can. You know the disclaimer I mean. Well, we pointed out to them that the FDA did not authorize any or approve any nutrients, including the ones that they were routinely giving to people, although in tiny doses, like the vitamin C that they finally agreed to give my husband 3,000 milligrams orally when he needed huge amounts intravenously. And the others, and we took them to court. We sued them. And the judge said, and I quote, what are you, crazy? All she wants to do is give them vitamins, nutrients, and vitamins, minerals, and foods. Why can't she do that? She said, if Dr. Labo were licensed in New Jersey, I would just add her to your staff. But she's not. She's licensed in New York. So I will issue a temporary restraining order preventing you from preventing her and compelling you to cooperate. Cooperate? They still threatened to call security when I was there after visiting hours in order to feed him on the schedule that I had. And he was still recovering and still recovering. And finally, he was given the bum's rush out of that hospital and transferred to another hospital, Kindred Hospital in Rahway, New Jersey, where the staff said, oh, how can we help you? This is wonderful. We'd love to help you. What can we do? What do you need? And I said, he needs vitamin C. And his nephrologist, who had never given a patient vitamin C because he did not know that vitamin C helps kidneys restore themselves. He did not know that vitamin C actually fights the anemia that is resistant to iron and requires patients to be transfused so often and so on. I gave him the literature. He said, oh, that's very interesting. Let's do that. And so he finally, as he said, had to press a few wrists, and he got permission physician to give General Stubblebine intravenous vitamin C, and it was a miracle, an administrative and a medical miracle, because on the Thursday before he died, he received his first intravenous vitamin C, and bam, he turned around. He was a different human being. He received the next one on Friday, and it was astonishing. He was no longer a sick human being. He was a man who had some problems, who was still in bed, but he was obviously healing. His energy field returned. His vitality was, his memories came back in full. It was just vitamin C, Jim, in sterile water. And on Sunday, so that was Thursday and Friday. Nothing happens in hospitals on Saturday and Sunday if they can help it. On Sunday, I ran out to buy a new Vitamixer because I was liquefying his food and the old Vitamixer had given up the ghost that morning. And I had the feeling that something was wrong, so I called from the store where I had just bought the Vitamixer, and they said he's had a cardiac problem. I came racing back. He coded, which means that his heart stopped. They revived him, during which time he and I, forgive me, this is very emotional, he and I were holding each other and kissing each other, and he and I were telling each other how much we loved each other. The staff had never seen a code proceeding with two people loving each other, but we did. And then he coded again, and they took him to the intensive care unit, and he coded repeatedly, but he was trying to stay alive very clearly against an industry of death and destruction called allopathic medicine. And that what he died from, Jim, was the lack of the right to make the decision about how he wanted to be treated. He was right. He knew he needed vitamin C. His attending knew he needed vitamin C. And I knew he needed vitamin C. But it's, quote, not in the formulary, because it would obviate the more than $5 million of hospital bills that he generated before he was dispatched by lack of informed consent, which is why, to the day I die, I will fight this battle for you and for your children and for everyone that can be reached to understand that they already have an internationally guaranteed right to do with their bodies as they wish. That was one of the consequences of signing the Geneva Convention and of the Nuremberg Doctors' Tribunal.
Dr. Rima, I can't thank you enough for sharing this with us. Your passion and your outrage are fully justified. I'm overwhelmed and tremendously sympathetic and in your debt for sharing your experience and the knowledge of the several dimensions of what you've explained here. Dr. Rima, truthreports.com online. One word, Dr. Rima, truthreports.com. I can't thank you enough. I admired your husband, and I admire you, Dr. Rima. Thank you so much for coming on The Raw Deal to share your story.
I hope we're not finished. Thank you. I hope we have a little more time to talk.
Sorry to say the time has run its course, but Dr. Rima, I can't thank you enough. You were wonderful. This is Jim Fetzer, your host.
Thank you,
my special guest, Dr. Rima, for being here, and all of you for listening.